Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. I'm Nidhi Razdan. On the program tonight, we're going to be looking at the Modi legacy. It's been quite an election. This campaign finally over. And when all the votes are cast, what have the people of India based their decision on? Is it the economy, is it jobs, national security, or just Narendra Modi? Mr. Modi's personality has undoubtedly loomed large over this election. Many believe this has simply been a referendum on him. But has it? What is Mr. Modi's legacy of the last 5 years? And will that be enough to get him re-elected? Is Narendra Modi the strong leader who has made India safer and put us on a path to economic reform? Or has he set India on a destructive path with his muscular religious nationalism, the economy in trouble, threats from Pakistan still unabated, and a badly divided people? Is Narendra Modi the great unifier that he and the BJP would like us to believe? Or is he, like that now infamous Time magazine cover said, India's divider-in-chief? Well, we've got a terrific panel joining us on The Big Fight today. And as always, we will begin with opening comments from all our panelists that will last for exactly 1 minute. I will begin with activist and writer Farha Naqvi. Is Modi a unifier or a divider? Farha Naqvi.
Mr. Modi is exactly who he was. Perceptions about him have changed in the last 4 years. There were those who were desperate to believe that the leopard would change its spots. It did not. He's been remarkably consistent in his politics. And for those who don't want to go back as far back as 2002, please go back to June 2014, his first speech before the Lok Sabha, in which he spoke about 1200 saal ki ghulami. He spoke about 1200 years of servitude, when all we have learned in India growing up in this country was 200 years of British rule. His signaling of his politics was completely clear. He was intending to target Muslims for the entire duration of his prime ministership, and he indeed has. Love jihad, cow vigilantism, Ram Mandir, Kabristan, Pakistan. Pragya Thakur being the latest, and her remarks about Gandhiji being absolutely unforgivable in this hate politics. I want to say that commentators who respond to this with bewilderment really ought not to be. You know, right-wing populism of this sort does not just emerge.
All right, time's up, Farha Naqvi. Yeah. You get a chance to expand on your points. We have Rajat Sethi, who is with the India Foundation, also advisor to the Manipur Chief Minister. Rajat Sethi, unifier or divider?
Well, if you go by the term unifier and divider and the bipolarity of it, I would say that who can be a bigger unifier than Prime Minister Modi? He seems to have united such political factions who would have never come together. They've cut across all ideological lines. They have forgotten about what they stood for. If you see UP, for that matter, SP, BSP coming, you see in the south, in Andhra, in Telangana, what kind of cobbling up of alliances happened just to stop one man. So in the term of, in the true sense of dividing and uniting, he has put together all of the people who have been against the India's interest, against people who have risen from the ground and have risen up the ladder through the sheer hard work, people who have always felt entitled to the seat of power. He has united all of them. So in my view, Prime Minister Modi, who's been consistent for the past 5 years, ensured that there is good governance, ensured that there is no organized riots happening anywhere in the country.
All right, Rajat Sethi, you get a chance to talk more about that later. National spokesperson of the Congress, Pawan Khera, you're next.
Nidhi, we have a history where communities do have a historical baggage. We are an ancient civilization. We have baggages. There are fault lines. But 1947 onwards, we created a constitution, we set our goals, national goals, and decided to move on together. Mr. Modi comes and reminds us of all those fault lines. From 47 onwards, whoever the rulers were of this country, they decided to govern despite the fault lines. Here is a man who governs, who depends on the fault lines for his politics, who depends on the fault lines for the governance also. Now, you divide gods, you divide freedom fighters, Nehru versus Patel versus Netaji. What kind of a narrative is this? And now, when you go to Bengal, you say Purvanchal versus Bengal. Wherever Mr. Modi goes, he himself talks in a divisive language, Shamshan versus Kabristan. Gods, rivers, everything. The moment you touch something, you divide.
For opening comments from Yogendra Yadav, President of Swaraj India. Yogendra Yadav, where do you stand on Mr. Modi?
We don't, frankly, need a Time magazine to tell us that he's a divider. A divider not merely in the sense of Hindu-Muslim. You really don't need to give evidence for that. It's all over in a way which is so low that this country had never imagined. But I think we also need to pay attention to the fact that he divides at a deeper level, not just the present, also the past, not just on lines of Hindu-Muslim, for which I don't need to even adduce any evidence, but on caste line. Remember, his caste and exact caste configuration keeps changing. His own placement in caste hierarchy keeps changing. Also remember, here is a prime minister, unifier, nationalist, who didn't speak one word on Punjab-Haryana water dispute, Karnataka-Tamil Nadu dispute, so in regional terms as well a divider. In one respect, I hope he would be a unifier. We Indians have never had to fight for democracy. I really hope
Time's
he would
up, Yogendra
unite
Adam.
Indians who want to fight for democracy.
Okay.
And this God Save versus Gandhi
your time's
could
up.
Become
I
a future
okay.
debate.
Shantanu Gupta is here with us today. He's a political analyst and author of a biography on Chief Minister Adityanath of UP. Shantanu.
Nidhi, first of all, I'm not very comfortable with these binary questions, unifier or a divider. I think we took a cue from Time magazine and now we are pushing it to our TV studios. See, after many, many years and many decades, we have a person who have a clear political popularity, which we have seen in 5 years, right? What unites a country? A strong country and where the governance is strong, that unites a country. What he has delivered in the last 5 years, be it the borders, or be the implementation of slogans like Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas. When I'm making a road, it's for everyone. When I'm supplying electricity, it's for everyone. When I'm making toilets, houses. So from Rajiv Gandhi, where one rupee traveling and 15 paisa reaching, now the government schemes are reaching. And well-fed people, people who are engaged in economic activity will make a strong India, united India.
All right, well, you stuck to your time. Sadanand Dhume is with us today. He's, of course, a columnist and writer. Your time starts now.
It just depends on which cleavage you're looking at, right? If the cleavage we're looking at, which is most of my fellow panelists are looking at, is the cleavage between Hindus and Muslims in our society, there's absolutely no question, as Yogendra pointed out, that he has proved to be a divisive figure and a divider. But I think that what is curious to me, at least, you know, traveling a little bit in Uttar Pradesh, is that that division is offset by what seems to be a certain amount of consolidation across caste lines among at least a section of the Hindus. That's what we saw in 2014. So he is sort of, in some ways, he's this unifying figure, I'm just in purely electoral terms, but in larger national terms, he's clearly been a divisive figure. I would also sort of say that there is a difference, I think, between him in 2014 and 2019. I thought between 2014 and 2017 there was much to criticize, but he had not really, in my view, let things loose to a point where there was no ambivalence.
Time's
since 2017, that ended.
All right. Well, let's just get into, you know, some of the points made by all of you and into this debate. Let's talk about what happened today. And Yogendra Yadav, I'll take this to you. We had this unprecedented sight of the Prime Minister turning up at the BJP headquarters today, where, you know, the media then speculated that a press conference was finally going to happen. It was a press conference, except it was Mr. Amit Shah's press conference. The PM sat next to him silently and deflected questions that were directed to him onto the party president. What did you make of this? Because there has been a lot of criticism he's faced for not doing a no-holds-barred press conference. And yet, there was something different about his tone and the way he tried to come across today. What did you think?
I wasn't there, but I just felt, number one, the word unprecedented is very important. At the end of five-year regime, what is unprecedented? The fact that he's facing a press conference, that he's sitting
in the press room.
Speaking in the press room. I mean, is that, should it be unprecedented for democratic leaders? And second, if it was that, let's say, even at the fag end of his five-year tenure, just one day before the final phase of polling of the last election, even then he doesn't inform the press and say, all right, now for 1 hour I'll take questions. Not even that. So what does it tell you? It tells you about a prime minister who doesn't want to face questions, who knows that questions are such that he won't be able to answer them.
Well, Shantanu had his hand up. Shantanu, yes?
I'm saying I don't understand this fixation with press conference. I'm saying you need a communication from the Prime Minister. I have never seen in last 30 years a Prime Minister as communicative as Narendra Modi. B is a user of social media, which everyone, including Rahul Gandhi, is a follower. Giving interviews to news agencies, to media channels.
That's one way communication.
Talking to, taking multiple rallies, reaching out to students. I'm saying, tell me between Narendra Modi, Amit Shah and party spokesman, which question is not answered in the last 5 years?
But why
you ask
the Prime
every
Minister,
question. If you have a fixation, no. I want to hear this statement from Modi's
Shantanu,
mouth and
why
Modi's voice
the Prime
and
Minister answer questions?
That's just a fixation.
The President
then.
Of the United States.
I am sorry for anybody.
Between all channels,
for,
all interviews, which one question which you not asked? Tell me one question which you not asked.
For anyone who thinks a free press and the press's right to ask its leadership questions in a democracy is a quote fixation, needs to revisit,
multiple
you
interviews.
Need to revisit
to
your
news
definition
agencies,
of
to
democracy.
Channels, if some particular
let
channel
finish,
didn't get an interview because of
finish.
Low TRPs, that's
let
the problem of the
finish.
Channel.
Stop yelling. Stop yelling. Mr. Modi has done one-way speaking. His Man Ki Baat is him. It's scripted. He has done nothing that is spontaneous. A Prime Minister of India. We deserve somebody we can ask questions to every day. The idea of citizenship power is growing across the world. It's growing in this country. We have 1,000 questions. We want to ask him. We want it to be open-ended. We want it to be unscripted. We do not want an Akshay Kumar Modi strolling on green lawns telling us about mango eating.
A lot
that
of people
is
like
not,
watch,
no, I am sorry.
A lot of people like
once
it.
Rajat had a point here. Rajat,
why
come and sit on the stage and then just turn and say, well, you know, the party president will answer the questions?
Well, if
why
you
not
see
just
the,
take
if
them
you,
on?
Nidhi, if you see the context of this meeting that happened, he was there to meet and greet the party workers who have been working alongside him for the past 3 months or so. And then when Amit Shahji, the party president, came in and he did...
This was not meant to be for party workers.
Please understand. I mean, either you
well,
have information
even more
or you
of
don't
a shame.
Have information.
Let him finish. Let him
okay,
that's
so this
that's
is,
a shame then no, if it
please,
wasn't for the people.
First of all, he came in there. And he clearly stated that this is a party forum and the party president is here. And the basic principles of the party is such when the party president is there and is ready to answer the questions, he will answer and he is answering. Had there been a question which Amit Shahji, who is the party president, would have felt the Honorable Prime Minister to answer, he would have answered. I mean, when he is capable enough, because all of these questions were around elections and he being the party president was there,
did,
present there to
did
answer.
Did ask the Prime Minister,
see,
measuring one or two journalists did.
Doesn't go by
he
you.
Diverted
party has its
to
own
Amit Shah.
Organization,
why?
Has its own way of going about things. You might like it, you might not like it. That is your prerogative. Coming to the second point about these press conferences, actually I agree, is what kind of a fixation? Every single, you are trying to belittle all of these journalists who went ahead and interviewed the Prime Minister. This clearly means you're trying to belittle them. They had an opportunity, hour-long opportunity to ask him the questions. They asked every sort of questions. You keep tagging him, it's scripted, it's not scripted, whatever. Are
was
you questioning? Are you questioning the
scripted?
Credibility of these journalists?
The questions were
tonight,
given to the PM
why don't
in advance.
You just come out and say that all of these journalists, ABP, India TV, this, that, everybody is all
but then
has
why
been
not
sold
have a press
out.
Conference?
No. What happens? What cacophony happens in the press conference?
Nothing happens.
What does
the why does the president of the
what is
why does the president of the United States do a
press conference?
Why does the Prime Minister of Britain do a press conference?
All of them.
By saying that journalists indulge into cacophony, he's belittling the journalists.
No, so I'm asking. No,
it's a question.
What is the unique thing about press conference?
May I be allowed to speak?
Yeah, yeah. Pavan.
No, you can't have a captive media and do your Man Ki Baat even today. Now, this was there was no teleprompter. Maybe he was uncomfortable without a teleprompter. We've seen all the teleprompters and all the scripts of questions, answers, minor details, commas, everything is scripted. So we want a Prime Minister who needs to engage with people. How else do people ask questions? Through the media. Media is the bridge between the people and the Prime Minister.
No,
you
sir,
don't, you want to do
other democratic means for not
let
just...
Let me respond to what she's asked me. I didn't interrupt, so please have the... So, ठीक है आज आप प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस में आए आपने जवाब नहीं दिया दिस इज द फर्स्ट एंड होपफुली द लास्ट प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस विद द प्राइम मिनिस्टर डजंट आंसर मोदी है तो मुमकिन है ऑब्वियसली
वेल सदानंद एज अ जर्नलिस्ट आई मीन लुक world
yeah.
leaders
look, I have
in
to
democracies
that, you know,
take
with,
questions in press conferences
all
the
respect,
time
with all due respect I think Shantanu's point is ludicrous one of the bright shining lines between an autocracy and a democracy is the right that the media has to question a leader and question the leader sometimes in hostile terms.
Multiple
now
interviews.
That
Multiple
no,
interviews.
And that this a lot of this is a lot of it was scripted.
Oh, a lot of it
what
scripted.
You,
you know
need,
everything. Come
everybody
on.
Communicates. Xi Jinping communicates. Putin communicates. Every person who leads any country communicates. So the idea of putting in his Twitter feed and monkey bath and calling him a great communicator, that may well be true, but that is not how democracies operate. So by moving away from this norm, which we expect, we certainly see this in the advanced democracies, I think that is a step back, it's a step backward, and it's certainly something that we should question.
Farah?
Yeah, I want to just say, you know, this entire 4 years, this from 2014, what we've seen is singular disrespect for the media as well. So you've seen attempts to squash media, bully media, buy media. So now you have what people on, you know, loosely call Godi media, which is a bot media, because it's this fundamental lack of respect for the basics of our democracy, which is a free media, is a critical pillar on which that democracy stands. It creates transparency in the functioning of a government. It is disrespect for media and disrespect for
but
democracy,
you know, there's another
that
thing.
We see in this.
Before I move on to another aspect of his legacy, Yogendra Yadav, doesn't that also then speak volumes about the media itself? You know, there is maybe Mr. Modi has a certain sort of contempt for the media, and he wants to deal with it its own way. But what does it tell you about us as journalists and as the fourth pillar?
I wouldn't comment so much on the journalists, but because I make the difference between journalists and media. Sadly, what we have witnessed in the case of media in India in the last 4 years or so is one of the darkest moments of Indian media. Yes, Mr. Modi's team supplied scripts, and we actually have now seen the scripts. So what are we talking about? The question is, why did the media houses accept those scripts? Why were they pretending? Why could they at least not write that these questions were supplied to us? So yes, of course, the media has been complicit in it. And I just want to say to both my friends, friends, we are in the danger of forgetting one word. Please remember that. The word is called accountability. And yes, I'm obsessed about that word, because that word is the very essence of democracy. And what this prime minister has escaped is accountability.
Absolutely.
When I decide which questions I wish to answer, in which sequence and at what time, that's not examination. It's something else, but it's not examination. Communication, yes, but one-way communication does not define a democracy.
Or
and why obsessed with Mr. Modi? Because he's obsessed with himself, because his party is obsessed with him, because this government is nothing but him. So who else do you ask?
Who else do you obsess with?
Yogendra Yadav ji, you just mentioned about accountability, and that do you expect from a media houses who have in the past been exposed for something as heinous as doing Neera Radia tapes? You expect accountability from them? You think that they are the torchbearers of honesty and truth in this country? And the
have
public who has been
the media
repeatedly
house
and repeatedly
tried to bribe somebody?
Lovely. So what's the argument?
Media houses, journalists, very reputed journalists, Nidhi, you know it very well. Let us not do name calling here.
Yeah. What does that have to do with Mr. Modi having a press conference?
The media is finished.
No, I'm saying the media needs to introspect. That's not the media that this nation wants.
That's a separate issue. One second. Rajat Sethi has a point.
I'm touching the hornet's nest.
No, you're not. Let me tell you something. You are absolutely right.
I came here prepared because of this attack.
One second.
Collective attack.
I just want to tell you that you're actually right.
You are
the media. No. Let me just
please,
ask my question.
Accountability.
I promise you.
As a voter of this country, I do not expect any accountability from media houses which are sold. Number one. Number two, accountability
therefore
is measured.
Media.
No, please, sir. Accountability is constantly measured by the Prime Minister going and asking for votes every year after year. And he has been getting mandates, unprecedented mandates, historically, which we have never seen.
So he can't
this
be questioned.
The sheer love of people.
He can't be questioned.
He is accountable to the public. He is not accountable to the media houses.
Especially those media houses
who have sold. Who have sold the entire credibility
now?
At the altar of doing all these, all these back channel discussions that they do. And the kind of money that exchanges hands. I am saying this loud.
You should
loud
not
and there is
programs.
No accountability that the media houses can expect if they don't course correct what they stand for in this country.
But
we need to do a deep cleansing if you have to come up and rise as the fourth pillar.
Why can't the PM just do an open cleansing?
There have to be many more ethical people
Rajat.
Who used to join journalism.
Why doesn't the Prime Minister do an open press conference?
Yes, absolutely. Non-ethical people cannot demand accountability from the Prime Minister of this country, whose whole life is open book, every everybody knows exactly what he does.
We don't even know his degree. What open book are you talking about? Do you know the degree?
I know, of course I know.
The country knows. Where is the degree? High court brings a stay on the degree. What are you talking about? You don't give responses to IAS. Who travels with him on aircraft? Which are the industrialists? We want to know. What accountability are you talking about?
Sir, I know what is hurting you.
There is a sense of deja vu here because this is exactly what Donald Trump does, right? The media he doesn't like is sold out, it's biased, it's fake news, and that's the New York Times, the Washington Post, etc., etc. And it's a very similar narrative.
No, it's actually very different
here.
Because even though Trump may say all these things, he addresses open press conferences where there
that's
are hostile
true.
Questions from journalists who he doesn't like.
He went to the New York
he
Times.
He has given
editorial
several interviews to the New York Times. So he may make these sort of undignified noises that no one in the journalism community likes, but there is nobody who can say that he does not put himself in front for scrutiny by those very journalists. He does that over and over. So one, that's one very big difference. Secondly, coming back to Rajat's point, and I hope we can disagree about this without yelling. Basically, what he is sort of coming to is, whatever it is, it's a form of governance, but it is not traditional democracy. This is what you have in authoritarian states. This is what you have with strongmen, where the only legitimacy that counts, legitimacy is the legitimacy of the connection directly with the people. Any other intermediate organizations, whether it's the role of the media, whether it's the role of the courts, whether it's anybody, any other institution that is set up in a democracy to check the concentration of power is immediately delegitimized, and that is what he is doing. He is delegitimizing.
Let me get Rajat to respond to that, and then I'll come to you again.
We have always been ascertaining far too much power to a specific set of coterie. That's what I'm challenging. Okay, what I'm saying is that a Dainik Jagran journalist should have had equal voice, so to say, power as compared to people who belong to the Latians. That's what I have been trying to say. But that parity was never there in the first place. There was a constant, you know, over-empowering of a certain specific set of journalists in this country, which became the whole nemesis. And this has been, you know, captured. This is a phenomenon not just in India.
But like he
there
said, been but Rajat, that is Donald Trump says to the American media, Rajat.
That was not
Donald
your point
Trump
originally.
Gives
your
interviews
point
to the New York Times. The same media he calls fake.
About press conferences, not one. So otherwise, if you say that he's
he's done interviews.
Various news channels just talked on a one-on-one
basis.
That is not compared
to Trump. It's not about
one-on-one. See, please understand.
Donald Trump does press conferences too, where he takes questions from the very media he hates.
Has to have primacy over any specific set of coterie who is historically
is he afraid
been empowered
to take questions from
just
everybody?
Because of the back channel dealing that they are capable of doing.
Is he afraid to take questions
no,
from
No, he's
everybody.
Not afraid. He takes it directly from the people that matter. From the janta.
Interrupting doesn't mean I
okay, one second. Yogendra Adhar had his hand up. One second. Yogendra.
I just wanted to say two or three things. One is, it's absolutely right. There was a huge difference between elite, empowered, English media of a certain kind. I've always said in this country, English media represents a mix of arrogance and ignorance. I've said that in your studio as well. And others were disempowered. So here comes Mr. Modi, levels it all by denying every opportunity to everyone. How wonderful leveling. No one has any opportunity to talk to him. The whole thing has been leveled. That's one argument. The second argument is that how can we be accountable to media because the media is so corrupt. So, no accountability, no answers. Who am I accountable to? To the people. What is that judged by? The election. This is, incidentally, there are books on that. I can gift you some of those books. This is called electoral authoritarianism. This is what Mr. Putin practices. This is what is happening in Turkey. And this is exactly what Mr. Modi is driving this country towards, which is a denial of democracy. And one final point. My friend says he's come prepared. I just hope he's not come prepared to disrupt the conversation. This is one of the few occasions
so
where we can speak
me? I'm
without...
I'm just raising my finger politely.
Please, no, your finger has been
no,
very polite.
You
your voice has not been. Let us not distract.
You are a senior person.
In that case, if you are senior, please understand what I'm saying.
I'm not, I didn't say I'm senior. I said you are senior.
That's why I'm saying you. कुछ उपदेश दे रहा हूँ आपको.
हाँ जी, बताइए.
आवाज मत उठाइए. आर्गुमेंट कीजिए.
आपने जिंदगी भर उपदेश ही दिए हम लोगों को.
अब आपने senior.
I know the show is called the Big Fight. We don't have to literally. We don't have to translate that literally.
Don't raise your voice.
And I agree with that. I think yeah. As long as it's
offer argument.
No, I don't want to move on to another aspect of Mr. Modi's legacy because it's not just about his relationship with the media. It's not just about his relationship with the media, but it's also what Farah spoke about in the beginning. What you know, she sees. As sort of his divisive legacy, particularly with Muslims, for example. Now, let's talk about Pragya Thakur for a moment. Pawan Khera. Today, the Prime Minister did speak very strongly on Pragya Thakur, and he said, I will not forgive Pragya Thakur for what she said on Mahatma Gandhi. Now, is that strong enough? Or do you think it needs to be followed up with action, such as throwing her out of the BJP?
Sitting next to him at the so-called mythical press conference, Amit Shah says, Pragya Thakur represents our satyagraha. Those were the words, not my words, Amit Shah's words. Against the bogey of terror, Bhagwa terror. Now, if Pragya Thakur and satyagraha can be used in the same breath, do you think the Prime Minister's criticism of Pragya Thakur is strong enough? The answer lies in the comments made by Amit Shah. The fact that you give her a ticket, the fact that all your leaders go and campaign for her, the fact that she attacks Hemant Karkare and it doesn't really affect Mr. Prime Minister, then she goes on to almost attack Gandhi and kill him once again. This lip service won't help. The Prime Minister should have acted day before yesterday.
Shantanu, do you want to take that on?
I'm saying we have
giving
seen
a ticket to Pragya Thakur a mistake.
We have seen various slurs from all the party candidates, be it Navjot Singh Sidhu, be it Manishankar Iyer, be it Shashi Tharoor, and on some Rahul Gandhi spoke, on some Rahul Gandhi didn't. So I think Prime Minister coming on one statement on an MP out of so many MPs fighting on the BJP ticket, he came very strong. What BJP, what Amit Shah spoke is before that statement.
There is one father of the nation. What
Amit Shah
all that
spoke
I want to
is
remind
before
you.
That statement, they backed their candidate that we are putting the victim of a theory of Bhagwa terror, which are cooked by Congress meticulously along with the bureaucrats, and against the candidate who cooked the story.
But is it enough? Is it enough for him to say that he
I'm
doesn't agree with her
whatever
comments?
He would have done, he would say, is it enough, right?
No.
He
if he had thrown her out of the BJP, people
for
would
a
have
single
applauded.
Candidate, he came out, so many candidates spoke so many things from all the parties.
Ma'am,
for a
the
single
father
candidate,
of the nation is just
came
one,
out,
not
the
so many
father
of the nation.
Came out that I will never forget the statement. What is most
This represents the RSS thinking, full stop. And therefore, the Prime Minister can only say something against it. He won't do anything against it.
Look, you know, this is one thing the divisive politics of Narendra Modi has done. It's reduced even civilized, potentially civilized debates into shouting matches. And I think that the biggest problem with public discourse, including about Pragya Thakur, is an apology saying, I don't agree with her statements. I'm sorry, Mr. Modi, on the 1st of April in his Wardha speech, laid the groundwork for Pragya Thakur's candidature from Bhopal. That was the speech in which he said, Hindu, 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 are you not angry? Are you not angry? And if you're not, you should be angry. He was provocative. He was rabble-rousing. He was laying the groundwork for Pragya Thakur to enter the fray. So this idea of an apology is frankly, it's a bit silly at this point. The thing that he has done, that his politics has done, and I hear this unfortunately from Rajat as well, everything, every argument is us and them. It's good media versus bad media. It's this versus Lutyens. It's somebody versus Khan Market. It's Muslims versus Hindu. It's everything is pitted against. It is a very binary form of public discourse. In a country as great and diverse as India, you simply cannot have that kind of us and them rhetoric, which is something we used to laugh at the former US president about when he coined this phrase, this great either you're with us or you're against us.
Or a good
that
terrorist versus a bad terrorist.
You know, Rajat. So this is.
Or a Hindu
and
terrorist.
All the,
or a
I'm
Hindu
sorry,
terrorist.
Pragya Thakur's candidature has been a blot on Indian democracy. This is a prime minister and a government that has never hesitated to call out Muslim terrorists, but when it comes to somebody who is a non-Muslim, you suddenly find her fit to enter the hallowed halls of this country's parliament, a blot on democracy, and her candidature should be withdrawn after her comments on Mahatma Gandhi.
Rajat Sethi, did Pragya Thakur just go too far on this?
Of course, and there's no doubt about it. Anybody who is even questioning our forefathers who sacrificed their lives for the independence of this country cannot be condoned, supported at any cost. That goes for Pragya Thakur, that goes for Rahul Gandhi also, because he tried to belittle Veer Savarkar by calling him coward. That's the level of word that Rahul Gandhi used for a person who has spent 11 years in cellular jail. And you know, What Rahul Gandhi used for a person who has spent 11 years in cellular jail, and you know, Savarkar, quote, it removes from our midst a great figure of contemporary India. His name was a byword for daring and patriotism. Mr. Savarkar was cast in the mold of a classical revolutionary and countless people drew inspiration from him. And what Rahul Gandhi does is the same as versus them,
but
that we are holding
how is the
down.
Same as that? And the problem with that is
Pawan will never call it. Pawan will never call it. And that's the hypocrisy. That's the
hypocrisy.
Man, please, go spend one day in Kalapani, then we will talk. He spent 11 years in Kalapani. Rajat, calm down. I am saying with this chauvinism of yours, the way you made a face on Veer Savarkar, that's not how debates should be, ma'am. You should at least have some respect of a person who went to jail. And you know, ma'am, you were making a very bad
frowny-looking face on Veer Savarkar. Whenever it comes, why is there this level of disgust coming from the elite?
But I have a serious question. I have a serious question. Is a criticism of Veer Savarkar the same as saying that Gandhi's assassin is a patriot? I mean, this at the end of the day, you're calling you're justifying his assassination. You are not. I'm saying Pragya Thakur is.
No, I just said.
But you are comparing freedom fighters. She's not. You compared, when you brought in Savarkar.
I just said, I made a simple point. What Pragya Thakur has said from the top leadership till the people on the ground, they've all disagreed with it.
Why is she still in the BJP?
She will, the disciplinary action, let the committee respond. They'll ask her questions. That's how freedom of democracy and freedom of speech works.
Okay, Sadanand has had his hand up. What does that tell you about Modi's politics?
I don't want this, you know, we can't allow this debate to get hijacked into something as ludicrous as Savarkar versus Gandhi. It's an absurd comparison. Obviously, Gandhi is the father of the nation and we shouldn't go beyond that.
And you can disrespect anyone else. What kind of argument is
that?
Apart from Gandhi,
I have disrespected.
Shantanu, let Sadanand speak. I have said that this is not a debate about that.
You cannot deflect what was said by Pragya Thakur about Gandhiji by bringing up this other thing. That is pure deflection and nothing else. Point number one. Let me finish my point before interrupting.
Yeah.
The second point is that I think on this question of Pragya Singh Thakur, it's like we're experiencing as a country a form of collective insanity. I mean, the fact that people are hung up on this idea of the term Hindu terror, I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. Like, if I call someone an Italian mafia don, that doesn't mean I've said that all Italians are mafia dons. If a person who happens to be Hindu and happens to be motivated by ideological Hindu causes does take to terrorism, obviously that person is a Hindu terrorist. Similarly, a Baghdadi from the Islamic State is an Islamic terrorist. Why can we not discuss something that is just so commonsensical and so basic without getting into some hysterical claims about smearing an entire community? No one has and no one is smearing an entire community.
Yogendra Yadav, what is then this though? I mean, the Pragya Thakur example, along with other things that have happened, for instance, when Jayant Sinha decided to go and garland lynching convicts, not just accused, but those who had been convicted. You know, the Prime Minister's silence was the thing that stood out the most in these last 5 years. And he chose at certain points to break that silence with some sort of very generic statements on, you know, this is very bad, it shouldn't happen. But nobody seemed to be listening because the cow vigilantism continued, the lynchings continued. There is hard data out there about how hate crimes have gone up 91% in the last 5 years compared to the previous 5 years. So what does that tell you about his politics?
It's not merely forgetfulness. It is not inattention. It is not even uncivility. It is strategic. That's the problem. That the entire thing, you know, all kinds of incidents would take place in this country. Prime Minister would maintain diplomatic silence. After 1 week, he would say some golden, nice, lovely thing picked up from Bible or Gita, and sort of that's the end of it. Now, this is a classic game he has played just too often. Pragya Thakur is not a person who happens to have said something ridiculous yesterday. She has said it throughout her career. Giving her a ticket was a strategic decision. Decision motivated by the fact that this would lead to lots of TV debates. And in those TV debates, whoever loses, whoever wins, Hindu, Muslim would be uttered every time. As soon as the word Hindu and Muslims are uttered 50 times in a half-hour debate, Prime Minister's purpose is served. So this is strategic. And the other thing I wanted
then
to say...
Then why would he try to distance himself from her comments like he did today, saying I won't be able to forgive
her? That's
what
he's always done. He's done.
Or is there a limited sort of benefit to this kind of politics?
No. You see, the classic strategy is let something happen, let the damage be caused, let it be completed. When the job is completed, quietly come and say, haan, ye toh bahut achhi cheez nahi thi, aisa toh nahi hona chahiye, dharma, rashtra, achha sa kuch dialogue. I mean, this is a classic thing. I mean, why were you taken in by this? This has been done all over the world. It's a standard technique that's done. The other point I wanted to make was, let's not forget about the dismantling of many things that this nation could take pride in. I just wanted to say something, Nidhi, on this show, now that this election is coming to an end. I have been some kind of a self-appointed ambassador of Indian democracy. I have given maybe dozens of lectures all over the world defending Indian democracy. And this was not Congress democracy. This was post-Mr. Vajpayee. I had taken questions on 2002, 1984. And to the world, I had spoken and said, for all our faults, this is a democracy that can teach the world a lesson or two. On diversity, for all our failures, I had said, the world will have to follow the Indian model of diversity management. Today, honestly, I do not know what to say. And that, for any nationalist, should be an ultimate point to ponder. I do think my friends will ponder about it. I don't want them to respond right now. Just go back and think, does your country look bigger, better today than it did 5 years ago?
Certainly it does.
Rajat?
Yugenji makes nice speeches, sounds like as if he has really taken up on himself to save the democracy. But I was really pained that throughout the past 30 minutes, he did not utter a single word of the kind of murdering of democracy happening in West Bengal. Had he come up, and I frequently watch a lot of his debates, etc., he just does not address the body politic, the political culture of West Bengal ever.
Because this debate is on Mr. Modi's legacy.
That's fine. But that's, he's talking about democracy. He's talking about
the Narendra Modi's legacy. So why would he talk about Mamta?
Making lecture of Indian democracy and diversity. Hmm. Of course, he, within the country, should have come out and made strong statements. And he's part of a political party as well. He should have been the first to come and condemn it in no uncertain terms. No if then, else then. What is the difference between him and the others that he supposedly is criticizing here?
Since you have so much interest in what I have to say, yeah. Can I invite you and your all the viewers who are watching it right now, go to my Twitter. About 2 or 3 days ago, I had said, expecting Mamata Banerjee to save democracy is a joke. Please go and check. Thoda aap kaam karke aaya karo na yaar jab aate
hain. Thoda padhwar ke aaya karo.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to bring Bengal into this because it is a debate about Mr. Modi. But Shantanu, it comes to that point about the Prime Minister's silence. And, you know, if he's serious about not forgiving Pragya Thakur, she shouldn't be in the BJP. She shouldn't be your candidate from Bhopal.
See, I think Prime Minister have already spoken very strong words. There is a procedure in every party that the disciplinary committee will look into it. And whatever will come out, will come out. As I told you, party candidates from all parties made ridiculous remarks. And I'm saying every party, some parties reacted on it, some parties not reacted on it. I'm saying what can be more strong that on one particular candidate, Prime Minister came out and gave a very strong statement that I will never forgive in my life.
And that's it. And then what?
That's it. Everything will not happen in SMS and WhatsApp, right? Like it will happen right now. It's almost like a fixation for press conferences.
Do you think Pragya Thakur deserves to be in parliament personally?
I'm saying, yes, why not? Why not? I'm saying, really? I can quote ridiculous statement from Shashi Tharoor. I'm saying, do you think Shashi Tharoor is supposed to be in parliament?
Shashi Tharoor is not a terror accused, firstly, standing trial for terrorism.
Navjot Singh Sidhu should be in
assembly. There's a difference between ridiculous statements and calling Gandhi's assassin a patriot.
So you can compare. Some can be ridiculous for you, some can be ridiculous for me. I'm saying, we all have.
Do you think Mahatma Gandhi was anti-national?
I don't know for what reason. Because she has not read Veer Savarkar.
Distraction towards
Veer Savarkar. No,
but why not? I'm
saying,
Do you think Mahatma Gandhi was an anti-national?
So what kind of statement is that? Who will say that?
Now you're trying to create a boundary.
Who will say?
Because she did. She said that his killer was a patriot.
Everybody from the people, from Prime Minister, disagreeing from a statement.
But you still think she should get angry.
Right now, with this statement, that way I'm saying, if you see in election campaign, half of the leaders from all the parties will gone from their parties.
Is it the same?
That's the way.
When everyone makes outrageous statements, is it the same?
Nidhi, why are we focusing so much attention on Sadhvi Pragya just because she happens to be in the fray right now? If you really want to assess Mr. Modi's legacy, please also look at 2017. He appointed somebody who was known primarily for hate mongering as the chief minister of such an important and volatile state.
I mean, you know nothing about Yogi Adinath. Go to Facebook. Last 5 days, one of my videos got 10 lakh views about Yogi Adinath.
Let me finish speaking.
What kind of a
big question?
Let you finish, I'll come back.
Don't
come with limited knowledge. Don't come with limited knowledge on this channel.
You can have a lecture
on Yogi Adinath.
He has the right to come with Yogi Adinath.
I will come back to you guys. One second. Let Farah finish, guys.
अरे उनकी बारी खत्म हो बोल दीजिएगा उसके बाद
ओके फरा फिर
इतना इंपेशेंट क्यों हो गए आप इंटॉलरेंट हैं आप
फरा
देखिए योगी आदित्यनाथ in 2017 was an inflection point for many people who had given Mr. Modi a chance in 2014 they said okay this is actually not about development this is actually about good old fashioned RSS hindutva politics and that is why this man has been why are we so surprised that In this, it is natural. It is a path that is being followed from Yogi Adityanath to come to Sadhvi Pragya to me is not in the least bit. In fact, from 2002 to come to Yogi Adityanath and to Sadhvi Pragya, none of this should surprise. This is the core of their politics. And I want to say that the Indian dive, I have, for years I studied abroad as well. I was the proudest Indian ever. Anything was said, my democracy was unassailable, my diversity was unquestionable, and our fault lines were, yes, they were there. What this politics, let me finish, has done, it's not just a politics built on fault lines. Great leadership requires you to heal those fault lines. This leadership has not only scratched, it has gouged the fault lines such that there are rivers of blood. There is so much division and hatred in this country today, thanks to
those
the politics
strong words.
That
are...
has, yes, yes, we no, are a more anymore. Divided
Can
nation
I come
today.
I just want Shantanu.
Could have
had
imagined.
A good
yeah.
now,
okay, okay, imaginable what has
okay,
happened.
Shantanu, Shantanu. See, you've written
this
the book
is,
on Nidhi, Mr.
This is the classic example of an ignorant Delhi intellectual. No, nothing about, I doubt she ever traveled to Lucknow. Ever traveled to Gorakhpur. Just hear two YouTube videos, read New York Times and use classy English. Just malign someone. He is in parliament for 5 years. He is in parliament for 5 terms, winning exponential margin. In fact, when BJP was not winning in 2004 and 2009, he won with exponential margins. Go and see his popularity in Gorakhpur.
So?
His chief architect is a Muslim. One of the dean is a Muslim. Half of the shop is given to Muslims. Just based on two electoral speeches, you just cast aspersion of a person who is a parliamentarian from last 19 years. He has asked 300 questions till 2017. But you have not spent time in Gorakhpur. Have you been to Gorakhpur? How many times have you been to Gorakhpur? You know nothing about Yogi Adityanath. See his parliamentary record. See question by question what he asked.
Is that why the BJP lost the Gorakhpur by polls? Because his parliamentary record was so stellar.
वो मठ के भूत से हार गए थे गोरखपुर में बाय इलेक्शन.
लुक इफ यू आर गोइंग टू मेक पॉपुलैरिटी द बैरोमीटर ऑफ हिज रिकॉर्ड हैज ही नॉट मेड हेट स्पीचेस अगेंस्ट मुस्लिम्स
शांति बायोग्राफी नहीं लिखी.
Has Look, he not made hate speech?
Because with this half knowledge, because it's half knowledge of so two articles, you can't
one
even write.
Thing. First of all, everybody has to treat everyone with respect. You can't decide that you can decide who can speak about what.
Based on a statement.
People
based
have
on
a statement. She has a right for her to her view. You the, cannot shut her
I'm
up. You
commenting,
express
I'm commenting
your own view.
Based
no,
on
you're
on
interrupting.
Expresses
no, you are interrupting. You now you're not letting me. You're interrupting.
This is ridiculous.
First point is,
you go there and moderate.
Now,
what are you doing?
He is allowed to think that Yogi Adityanath is the greatest invention on the planet since sliced bread. My view is, and I think Farah is absolutely correct, and we shouldn't get away from this point, that until 2017, for most people who follow Indian politics and public life, Yogi Adityanath was considered as too incendiary even to occupy a junior ministership. So when he was made Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister, you may see this sort of grand whitewashing exercise going on, of which Shantanu is a part. But the fact is,
this is not personal. No, this is not personal commenting. This is not personal commenting. Come on,
a turning point for Indian politics.
Don't be such a hypocrite on this channel. Come on,
turning point for Indian politics, and it's something that has been noticed quite dramatically. And if you look at how the Modi government is viewed internationally, this may give no joy to his supporters. But the fact is, March 2017. Is the turning point for Mr. Modi internationally?
Well, you're talking about the international perception, Pawan. Just to come in on that particular point, it's interesting that you brought that up, and I brought up the Time magazine cover in the beginning, because many years ago, I think it was 2012, when Dr. Manmohan Singh was on the cover of Time magazine and called the underachiever, the BJP held a press conference saying that, look, this proves our point that Manmohan Singh is a weak prime minister. Ravi Shankar Prasad did that press briefing. Pawan Khera, today, the BJP seems quite touchy about this latest
As they
cover.
Say, time ki baat hai. Us time unko shoot karta tha, is time humko shoot nahi karta.
You were waiting with that one.
Ye tayar karte
hain. But can I say something? I honestly think this obsession with which international magazine carries what cover.
But the obsession comes from all sides.
As a matter of fact, I've observed the BJP has been more, I mean, today it so happens that it goes against them, but in most of the debates, BJP spokespersons are more interested in what certificate they have got from IMF or some other place. And in fact, I have to constantly remind them, Bhai Sahab, jara is desh ka data bhi dekh lo, sirf bahar se mat laya karo.
Don't forget the world famous Kotler Award.
That's
the
right.
The Kotler Award. Well,
Kotler Award.
Can I just say one thing about Pragya Thakur? Actually, unlike all
Thank
of you,
don't call her Sadhvi. I'm so happy.
I do think she would be put in a dustbin.
You think she'll lose
I
her
I do think she would be
well,
put in a dustbin.
Let's see what happened on Thursday.
Not because of the things that you are worried about. You see, she's served her purpose. Now she's useless. Chilka hai. Ab to dustbin mein jayega hi jayega.
Pawan. And then come to everyone.
Coming back
comments,
to the obsession with the international audience. Remember all the Madison Square Garden events, all the diaspora events. This man loves the galleries. He's least interested in governance. Loves certificates from abroad. He has this obsession. America se certificate mila, England se certificate mila, Europe se certificate mila. So, Time magazine, ab bhale ye dismiss kar dein usko, but their obsession has come back to bite them now. They are very worried about this Time magazine. You saw the trolls attacking Time. Jisne Time magazine ka naam kabhi nahi suna, usne sun liya aur usko attack karna shuru kar diya.
No, aur balki attack kis aadhar pe kiya to attack
Atish Tasir
for his nationality.
Okay, but yeah.
for attack Tavleen for being his mother. I mean, this is what BJP trolls have done. It's not an argument.
On that point that Sadanand made on the international image of Mr. Modi and India.
Sadanand ji made a sweeping statement there. He said that the entire international reputation of Modi ji has been impacted in 2017. I don't know how he's concluding to that
amazing
statement.
Survey
I mean,
there,
you need to qualify that how did he do a survey? Did he ask a lot of
I merely said
leaders?
This is a turning
I mean,
point.
Please,
you can go back and look at the coverage
of
every
opinion.
Leading
yeah,
international
yeah,
publication.
No, it's not.
You can read the New York Times, you can read the Wall Street Journal, you can read the FT.
You were accusing Shantanuji just for that matter. Everybody is now interrupting me.
Go ahead.
चिल्ला नहीं रहो मैं सर आप लोगों को अपना का आपका ही आईना दिखा रहा हूं
रजत फिनिश
क्योंकि आप लोग ना हाउंडिंग करते हैं जब बोल रहा है तो बोलने मत दो
आप इसे सीखे हैं भाई
अच्छा सीख गए ना मतलब थोड़ा सा तो भी
वीरता
दिखाओगे आपको भी
नहीं नहीं एक मिनट रुकिए अब आप रुक जाइए
पवन खेरा जी आप रुक जाइए सम्मान से बोल रहा हूँ
दिखाओ मैं भी आपको सम्मान से ही कह रहा हूँ आपके असम्मान करेंगे उसके बाद ये धमकी दे रहे हो अब यहाँ आकर धमकी भी दोगे आप
अरे तो सम्मान
आप यहाँ धमकी भी दोगे आप अभी तक तो मैं सम्मान की भाषा
समझ
गई क्या तमीज है आपको
मैंने नहीं बोला
He's not checking. Guys, I'll have to end the show then. Rajat, please let Rajat speak. No, Pawan, please. Pawan, please let Rajat speak.
Market के लायक हैं अपना वही
कर रहे हैं। अरे आपको खान मार्केट की साथ क्या प्रॉब्लम है?
बिल्कुल क्योंकि आप लोगों का वहाँ पूछ रहे हैं।
गाइस,
आप लोग अल्टरनेट बात नहीं सुन सकते हैं, तभी टोकते हैं।
Guys, one second. Let Rajat Sethi have his word, please. We just have a minute left. Let him sit. Shant, please. I don't want to end it like this.
नगर मार्केट वर्सेस थान मार्केट
सब इतना डिवाइड है सब कुछ आपके लिए कोटी है सब कुछ आपके लिए
I have to end the show.
कोई बात नहीं हम भी आ रहे हैं बदतमीजी तो नहीं करते हैं पहले हारे थे हम
पवन प्लीज लेट हिम
नो आई एम सॉरी
No, you that's fine.
If they are losing an election, doesn't mean they lose their patience.
No. Etiquette, sir. I'll tell you.
They lose their etiquette.
Okay, one second.
Arre, haro election, koi baat nahi.
Let me count to five and just calm down, please. I can't outshout you. Let
So you guys are finished. What do you mean, let me finish?
Anyway, Rajat, make your
point. No, I'm sorry. Boss, ye personal attack Khan Market ke layak hai. Ye kya tarika hai, bhai?
इस पे बहस तो नहीं कर रहे ना
नहीं तो क्यों ये इस तरह से ऊंची आवाज में चिल्ला चिल्ला के डराएंगे लोगों को यहाँ डराने आए हो
लेट अस स्टिक टू द सब्जेक्ट पवन प्लीज
देखिए लिमिट नहीं क्रॉस होनी चाहिए इनकी तरफ से वरना ये शो का कंटिन्यू करने का निधि कोई पॉइंट नहीं बनता है कमिंग टू मोर सब्सटेंटिव पॉइंट तो सदानंद जी पॉइंट आई एड्रेस सेकंड इज फरा मैम्स पॉइंट व्हाट शी इज ट्राइड टू एड्रेस इज दैट व्हेनेवर शी वाज अब्रॉड शी स्टडीड देयर एंड शी मेड अ पॉइंट दैट यस आई यूज्ड टू टॉक अबाउट डाइवर्सिटी ऑफ दिस कंट्री यू नीड टू अंडरस्टैंड द एब्सोल्युटली गोरी रायट्स हैव ऑल हैपेंड अंडर कांग्रेस रेजिम्स हिस्टोरिकली You pick up Bhagalpur. No, please. Bodo riots, Muslim Bodo riots. Mm-hmm. Even in UPA was in power in Delhi. Yeah. And there was an Assam government, Tarun Gogoi. The kind of riots they engineered just to win
Absolutely.
Elections. Now, in Manipur, where I serve, the Chief Minister of Congress, the previous Chief Minister of Congress, he engineered attacks on himself just to polarize the Meitei and the Naga population. You know, India is not just about Delhi. This is what Shantanu ji was trying to suggest. You go down. You
okay,
go to different states.
I have 30
states,
seconds
for
you
to find
can
out where actual divisive 30. Tricks and techniques of the Congress
so
party
what would,
are.
So what would a second term for Narendra Modi mean for India? Farah, quickly.
Oh, I can't even contemplate it. I think it would be a disaster for our democratic institutions, a disaster for our unity. I want to respond very quickly to this. Communalism has been a staple of Indian politics. Nobody should deny that and nobody is staying away from that. Except this communalism and this fault line is the core of the politics of this particular dispensation. That is the crucial difference. Communal riots, I mean, please, I'm sorry, 2002 still hangs over us, is still very much alive. Just the other day, Bilkis got an exemplary compensation
okay,
from the Supreme Court. So wait, I just want to finish and say this kind of communalism that this party has unleashed, communal riots, no. Far worse, everyday videotaped public spectacles of lynching to terrify people into silence. That is what communal
okay,
riots
have to,
been
replaced
with.
I have to wrap it. Obviously, Mr. Modi's legacy is something that is dividing all of us on how you know we all look at it. Whether he comes back for a second term or not, we will now know in less than a week from now. We'll see you then. Thank you to all our panelists for joining us. Thank you.